again and say it louder for the people in the back.
4.2 billion.
An infinite amount of Scrooge McDuck money bins into these individuals' accounts. They're still feeling a way about his level of influence. It's completely contrary to the appreciation that should be shown.
Didn't have Jason Witten's face on it, but they had cowboys underwear for women.
Yeah,
so I just kind of combined
the
that.
Wife as the scapegoat. Okay. Because, you know, if you knew better, you'd do better. But if you're 60 years old and you're still blabbering on about how Jerry Jones destroyed the team, catch this fade.
Hey, what are you talking about? He's not a football man.
All right, all right, all right. You know what time it is. Somebody's got to catch this fade. I am, of course, your host, K.D. Drummond, and I'm joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Patrick Walker. Say what's up to the people, Pat.
What's up, ladies and gents? This is Patrick Walker, a.k.a. at Voice of the Star on Twitter. Just kicking it with my boy, K.D. What's up, brother?
Hey, ain't too much, man. And, of course, you can find me on Twitter at K.D. Drummond NFL. We are here to celebrate the coronation, and that's basically what it is, the coronation of one of the NFL's most prominent figures, most important figures over the last 30-plus years. The one and only Jerry Jones is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's a beautiful moment for the Cowboys family, the Cowboys organization, past, present, future. For him to go in as a contributor of the game means so much to his tenure as an owner is basically the validation on a long and storied career. Everybody knows the background of Jerry Jones. He was a former oil salesman that bought the Cowboys in 1989, turned it obviously into a very profitable business. But it has not been all giggles and sunshine since he took over the club. It's been a lot of lean times, a lot of hard times, and basically a lot of hatred that's been sent his way from not only opposing fan bases, but also his own fan base.
His very own.
His very own. And you know, there's a lot of people that don't like to see success, and they hold grudges for things that aren't really personal. I know you come across it in your Twitter experience.
Of course, frequently, but I mean, it's like you said, people. Not everyone, obviously, because everyone's going to have their staunch supporters and people who want to see other people actually succeed and do better. But they're going to be those, the crabs in the bucket. They try to tear down those that are being successful simply because they are being successful, just for the hell of it. So it happens. You know, haters are haters.
Haters are haters. But how can you hate on this man? Let's go back and run through all the facts that got him to this coronation. He bought the team in 1989. Was it 89? Yeah, 1989.
Yeah, it was 89.
From Bum Wright for $140 million. Just earlier this month, or it's August now, so last month, Forbes valued the Cowboys at $4.2 billion with a B.
Hold on. Say it again and say it louder for the people in the back.
$4.2 billion is how much the Cowboys are worth.
A lot of science.
He took over the team when they were playing at Texas Stadium. He has obviously built AT&T Stadium, a.k.a. Jerry's World. Mm-hmm. And now he's built the Star in Frisco, billion-dollar facilities, a billion-dollar stadium, and a billion-dollar training facility that has basically reshaped all of sports in that immediate area, in the Frisco, Texas area. He has all the high school teams playing there, college bowl games, all types of stuff is going on. It's crazy what he's brought to that area. But that's not all that he's done.
Tip of the iceberg.
It's just the tip of the iceberg. That's like the crowning achievement, but the base. Look at what he's done as far as putting the Cowboys in a situation. Recently, a report came out. There are four Cowboys that are in the top 10 of jersey sales across the NFL for the most recent quarter. That's Zeke, Dak, Dez, and Jason Witten. How the hell is Jason Witten still in the top 10 of jersey sales? The man is Methuselah. Who loves Jason Witten that doesn't already have a Jason Witten jersey?
Doesn't matter, man. The GOAT is the GOAT, and he is defying all type of rules and traditionalisms. And I mean, it's unfathomable to consider that a player that's been in the league now entering his 15th season His 15th season, he's still number 10 in overall merchandise sales. It's not even just jerseys. It's total merch sales. So that anything that has a Jason Witten imagery on it, it's selling like hotcakes right now. Phenomenal. Man, absolutely phenomenal.
It must be some young ladies buying some Jason Witten panties or something going on, because I can't even understand how anybody is still cranking out money. Now, look. Myself personally, I stopped buying NFL gear.
Hold the sidebar.
Go ahead.
I don't even want to know how you know that there might be. But anyway, continue. Because you might have to catch some fade offline.
No. Look, there's a reasonable explanation for why that popped into my head. I have a family, obviously, and a couple years ago, I won. I guess technically it was payment for doing a promotion or whatever the case may be. But I had about $600 worth of credit that I was able to buy merchandise from the NFL shop or from the Cowboys Pro Shop. So in doing that, I was looking for basically anything to spend that money on, because you can only get so much stuff before you run out of ideas of stuff that you really want. So I was, you know, looking for stuff for the wife. And, I mean, it didn't have Jason Witten's face on it, but they had Cowboys underwear for women.
Yeah,
so I just kind of combined that.
Use the wife as the scapegoat. Okay.
So we'll
let that ride.
But as I was saying, since that time, I haven't myself bought any Cowboys merchandise. It's not really a boycott, but I've just kind of been – from the point of view that I didn't want to spend any more money on the NFL than I already was, because of some, you know, some things that I won't go into detail on my reasons why. But basically, to say it, I wasn't buying any merchandise for the NFL. But I completely understand why other people still are. But Jason Witten, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that goes back to the marketing prowess and power of the star. I mean, just everything that's attached to the Cowboys and that brand is just money. Whether it's being sold or talked about from a hate standpoint or a love standpoint, the fact is it's dominating. And that's why people are getting agitated, because NFL Network is supposed to be covering 32 training camps. I don't know where the other 31 are on the as far as the network coverage goes, but you damn well know what's going on with the Cowboys.
Well, I appreciate
it. So, I mean, it all ties together.
I appreciate it. And, of course, you know, Jerry Jones, I guess he's the chairman of the NFL Network of their programming or whatever the case may be. He's obviously high-ranked in that and so many other things that are involved with the NFL. And speaking of what happens on television, that's another thing that makes Jerry Jones so great, is that the Cowboys have become destination television. And that was no more evident than during last season, when the Cowboys basically saved the league's rating. If anybody remembers, during the first 8 weeks of the season, everybody was talking about, why isn't anybody watching the NFL anymore? And they tried to come up with all these different reasons, whether it was people protesting Kaepernick's protest and they weren't tuning in, which it turns out it was only 3% of people that actually stopped watching because of that reason, even though everybody tried to make it seem like it was a big deal. Whether it was the injuries, whether it was just lack of competition, whatever
the Josh Brown situation.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that now, do we?
Mm.
Mr. Mara.
Mm.
All right, so let me close myself.
Listen, my grunt has so many characters in it that
yeah, man, because they let that move up, but I'm not even going to talk about Ezekiel Elliott right now. So
yeah, because that's tangential to the point. Tangential.
Suffice to say, the Cowboys basically come out of nowhere season, because once Tony Romo went down, nobody expected big things out of the Cowboys. Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott led the way. The Cowboys turned. They were 7-1, went into Pittsburgh, and had basically, in my estimation, the game of the year.
Yes,
when
it was.
Elliott caught that screen pass and took it to the house, and then he went 30 yards up the middle to win the game. For me, that was the game of the season, and the NFL ratings exploded from that point on. The Cowboys were on a huge stage against another very visible and marketable team, came out on top, showed that they were for real, and then they proceeded to have five of the top six rated programs on the NFL slate for the entire season, and basically saved the NFL's ass when it came to their ratings for the season.
You better believe it, and that's to that point. That's why the Cowboys, their December was stacked with primetime games. That's why their game got flexed. You know, it's the Cowboys, and like you said, the ratings for the NFL, they were kind of in the doldrum. Oh, what's going on with the league? They're starting to kind of bleed ratings. It does well for the Cowboys. It's not only good for the sport of football, but it's good as a business for the NFL if teams like the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Steelers are doing well. And now that the Cowboys are for what it seems, I should say, it seems like they're finally out of that, you know, that 20-year hiatus of making a deep playoff run, cross your fingers.
Right.
But if that's the case, then you might as well count on the Cowboys having a lot more primetime games and America's games at 4:30 Eastern and things like that, and a lot less, you know, 12 nooners going forward.
Look, the Cowboys got a Tampa Bay game flex. Tampa Bay, bro.
Tampa Bay.
I mean, think about that for a second. Tampa Bay got flexed because of the Cowboys. The ratings for the season were down 14%. The NFL was giving away free ad space. People don't know that. They were giving away free ad time. That's how bad it was for them to try to sell their product. And then the Cowboys happened, and they got higher ratings. They averaged 23.7 million viewers, which was more than the World Series and more than the previous year of the NBA Finals. I don't know what this year's NBA numbers were. But just put that into context. Cowboys regular season game was bigger than the championship of two of the three biggest sports other than football. The other two big sports other than football, baseball and basketball. And the Cowboys themselves dogged them. That's Jerry Jones magic. That's America's team.
No, sir. That's science is what that is.
That is science. It's all mathematics.
That is science. It's science, mathematics. It's beautiful, man, because the way Jerry Jones has this team and to a bigger degree, the NFL itself humming. I mean, it's to a point now where you're starting to see reports of some backlash, reported backlash from other owners against Jerry Jones in whatever way they can, you know, kind of reach out to the commissioner and try to, you know, get their word in. So whether it be recent reports of NFL owners colluding against Ezekiel Elliott behind the scenes, feeling like they're being treated unfairly, which, again, is mind-boggling considering the number of suspensions as of late for the Cowboys. I don't see the favoritism that they're alleging. But, hey, you know, whatever. Or you could look at it to the point where just the owners in general are disgruntled, beginning to kind of feel like Jerry has and is gaining too much power and influence over the league as a whole. It's all a testament to what you were speaking of as far as his past goes. He came into the league. He purchased the Cowboys for just over $100 million, about $140 million. At that time, the Cowboys as an organization was bleeding $1 million per month. Mm-hmm. He took an organization that, although either people don't know or don't want to attempt to fathom the reality, was if the Cowboys had continued at that rate, because we all love Tom Landry, rest in peace to the legend, but at that point he was on the downside of his career.
Yeah.
The Cowboys were losing badly, consecutive losing seasons. They're losing $1 million a year. Bum is looking to get rid of the team. That sounds a lot like a team that would not have remained in Dallas too much longer. Those are all factors that usually come into a gumbo that sees a team relocating elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So for those that really, really claim to love the Dallas Cowboys, it doesn't matter how much you hate Jerry Jones, whether you feel your reasons are justified or otherwise. At the bare bones of it all, the reason the Cowboys are still in Dallas is because of Jerry Jones taking a risk on this team and turning it into a revolutionary item for the entire sports world, not just the football aspect of it, but sports in general, stadium licenses, going against his own league. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the guy, like you said, it's a coordination and it's justifiable. It's rightfully owned. It's rightfully so. And if we want to be honest about it, it could have easily happened a few years ago.
And you know, you brought up a great point about, you know, going against the league, because Jerry Jones is one of the few people that, you know, went into court against the NFL and came out victorious. He's the whole reason, you know, it was a Pepsi deal back in the day, back in the early 90s, when Jerry Jones was like, I don't need to market my team along with the NFL. I should be able to make these marketing deals on my own. And he ended up being in a lawsuit against the NFL and coming out victorious, giving the Cowboys their merchandising rights, which is why when you go on all of these apparel sites, you see that the Cowboys don't always have the exact same cookie cutter stuff that the rest of the league does. If you go on like a hat website and you're looking at all these various hats, and they have, you know, the Bears and the Ravens and all these other teams that all have cookie cutter hats, it's very hard to find Cowboys gear that goes along with everything that's available for the other teams. And this is because Jerry Jones has his own individual marketing stuff going on to this day. He's the one that helped bring in this new era of the robust television deals. He's right. The reason why all of these NFL owners are getting paid the way they are, because it's not ticket sales that drive the NFL. He's basically changed everything, because it's not ticket sales that drive revenue for the teams. It's the television contracts. Ticket right. sales matter, especially, you know, the private the PSL licenses, which we'll get into in a little bit. But for the most part, it's the television revenue. And from that television revenue and that income, the salary cap is carved out of that. So he's basically brought all of these millions of dollars to players and billions of dollars to owners. How the hell aren't you putting this man in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
It's so ironic that you mentioned that, because it's one of those things where he's one of the main reasons that the owners are making as much money as they're making hand over fist at this point. He's one of the main reasons that the salaries for NFL players are completely mushroomed over what they were in the 90s and 80s and obviously the 70s and things of that nature. And yet here we are, we're talking about a man who's put so much money. We're talking an infinite amount of Scrooge McDuck money bins into these individuals' accounts. And then they're still feeling away about his level of influence. It's completely contrary to the appreciation that should be shown to a guy who is the reason that you're even at this point financially. So like you said, going back to when he when the league sued him for $300 million because he broke rank, you know, when they signed the mega deal with Coca-Cola at the time, and Jerry was like, you know, like you said, we don't need to be in a collective in order for the Cowboys to get sponsorship dollars. He went and got Pepsi, and I believe yep. Nike as well at that point. Mm-hmm. The NFL sued him for $300 million. He broke rank. Okay, he in turn never won to lay down or back down from a fight. He in turn sued the NFL for $750 million.
Yes, sir.
And forced them to settle,
yep.
which blew the door wide open for stadium sponsorships, right? So no longer was it Texas Stadium. Fast forward to 2017, it's AT&T Stadium,
mm-hmm.
right? And so forth and so on as it goes throughout the entire 32 teams. They all have, you know, sponsorship deals, names for their stadiums. So it goes from the macro to the micro. There isn't one aspect that I can think of, correct me if I'm wrong, if you can think of it, please enlighten me. There isn't one aspect of the business of football that Jerry Jones has not either been involved in or outright steered since he took ownership of the Cowboys in 1989.
I can't call it. I have nothing.
I don't see it.
Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. They achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. They've established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S., and as a result, beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals, and produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. It's super simple, too. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. You can also customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs. And there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/cowboys. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/cowboys. Blue Apron, a better way to... All right, you know what this is right now. It's Catch This Fade. It's the latest and greatest podcast, and I'm so thankful that you're listening to, whether it's on the VSporto Cowboy Sports Radio app, whether you subscribe to us over on iTunes. You can make sure to catch all of the episodes there. For those of you that have to download stuff and get on the metro train or the subway, whatever you want to call it, you might have to go offline and you need some edutainment to keep you going, because that's what we're bringing you here on Catch This Fade. I am, of course, KD Drummond. That's my partner, Patrick Walker. Now, look, somebody's got to catch this fade this week.
I'm ready, man. I'm locked and loaded. Where we aiming? Who we got?
You know this is obviously our dedication to Jerry Jones, and we're thankful for this coming season and the joy that he's brought us over our careers. We're old enough to remember the three championships in the 90s. Some of our fans aren't that fortunate, and some of those fans got to catch this fade.
Here we go. Let's go. I'm Tyson 92. Where they at?
I'm trying to figure out how these knuckleheads can sit here and say that Jerry Jones isn't a football man.
Oh, they don't know any better, KD.
That's one of the biggest complaints that people have, and it just makes you screw your face up, turn your head to the side, and be like, "Kay? Kay? What are you talking about? He's not a football man." Do people even realize that Jerry Jones was on a national championship team, a starting offensive lineman on a national championship team, the University of Arkansas, back in 1965?
No, they don't know. But please continue to educate them, because this is something that they – ladies and gentlemen, whatever you're doing, if you're driving, pull over for a second, you know, in a safe spot. If you're writing, stop typing. If you're whatever you're doing, if you're feeding your child, make them wait 30 more seconds so AKD can give you this absolute science.
Look, now, Sirius XM was doing their training camp tours, and they had Jerry Jones on for an interview, and I'm glad that I got a chance to listen to it, because he brought the absolute thunder down when it came to his football acumen. And he said, you know, to paraphrase him, just like in business with football, it's all about the dedication and being able to fight through whatever it is, that the obstacles that are presented in front of you, and you never feel like you're winning. You only have short glimpses of satisfaction, and then it's back to the grind. You're constantly grinding, just trying to get those small moments of satisfaction. Now, one of the interesting stories that he told was he started off his career as a running back.
Yep.
And he got shifted to the offensive line. Yep. And he said something that was just so insightful that really drives home the fact that this is a football guy through and through. He said, "I didn't want to do those drills. What those guys in the trenches go through was a nightmare compared to what I had to do as a running back.
Mm-hmm.
So while you see this new incarnation of the Cowboys all centered around the dominant offensive line, this is a man who understands where the bread is buttered in the NFL. It hasn't always been a smooth process, just like Jason Garrett has had to learn on the job. He had to learn on the job as an owner. But he seems to, even after all of these years, he seems to have finally got to the point where he knows how much control to cede to Jason Garrett and Will McClay and his son Stephen Jones, and he seems to finally get the formula. But more to the point, this man won Executive of the Year in 2014. Beautiful. What he did with that team, with DeMarco Murray and Tony Romo, it was a phenomenal, phenomenal job.
Beautiful.
But in my estimation, what he did in 2016 was even better. I'd have flipped the two. I'd have given Jason Garrett the Coach of the Year back in 2014 and given Jerry the Executive of the Year for 2016, because that draft class is going to go down in history.
Especially once Jalen gets on the field. Jalen Smith and Charles Tapper, they haven't even played yet. And already the 2016 draft class is one of the best in Cowboys history. And if they get on the field and start balling out, it is not even an argument anymore.
And that's without even giving a shout-out to my man Malik Collins, who, for my money, is my favorite defensive lineman.
Yeah, he's about to break out.
Yeah, he's about to break out. And then the man won three Super Bowls early in the 90s, right? So everybody wants to say, hey, that was Jimmy Johnson's team. He doesn't get credit for that. He was nothing without Jimmy. Who hired Jimmy?
Simply put.
Who hired Jimmy? Isn't that what an executive is supposed to do? Hire people that are able to execute their game plan?
That are capable of excelling.
And then, you know, I did a guest appearance on a podcast 2 weeks ago, and they wanted to give Barry Switzer, they wanted to give him a hard time because he just took over for Jimmy's team. Was Jimmy in the locker room those 2 years?
Not at all.
I'm pretty sure that if you want to give Jimmy the credit for being the GM that built those teams, fine. There's still a coach that has to handle those day-to-days. And for whatever it's worth, Jerry found somebody that could come in and manage those personalities, even though it was just for a short 2-year window of success. He found somebody that was able to come in and bring him another championship. So he hired 2 Super Bowl winning coaches in his first 5 years of owning the team.
Yeah, back to back.
So what are you complaining about? What are you talking about? Jerry Jones isn't a football man. That man lives and breathes football. It's in his DNA. Play the Kendrick shit. Excuse my language. I'll
I got loyalty and royalty over my DNA. See, now you got it in my head. But,
I'm but trying to tell him. I guarantee you that will be the exit music for this podcast. Because that's just how I'm feeling about it right now.
You nailed it, though. You nailed it. And, I mean, if you look at what you just said, he hired two Super Bowl winning coaches in a 5-year span, and this for a team that was coming off of consecutive losing seasons. He took, and he still to this day, he is vilified unjustly for the firing of the great Tom Landry, when in actuality, it wasn't supposed to be on him.
Preach.
It wasn't supposed to be on him at all.
But he ate that. He took that. He said, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
He didn't throw anybody under the bus because it was supposed to be done prior to the purchase of the team. It wasn't, but he stood in front of the bullet, and to this day he has never uttered a word publicly that has thrown anyone under the bus. He took that. But those who aren't necessarily in the know, those who aren't historians of the team yet claim they are diehard fans, I don't know how that works. Kind of an oxymoron. You can't be diehard and not know about anything that has existed prior to Tony Romo taking the reins from Drew Bledsoe in 2006. But I digress on that point because I have a more important point to make here, which is so much science to give, so little time, which is a lot of the vilification of Jerry Jones is based on urban legend, urban myth, right? So the urban legend states that he fired Tom Landry because he had a beef with Tom Landry. That is not accurate.
Not
the urban legend dictates or states that it was Jimmy who completely and wholly built the Cowboys dynasty team. That is wholly and completely inaccurate.
Nope.
Jerry hired Jimmy. They both made football decisions. Jimmy offered up a lot of the football IQ at that time as far as the GM duties and who he should bring in, et cetera, et cetera. But Jerry very much had his input as well. That also being said, who approved Jimmy's, endorsement of this player, that player, drafting this person, that person? It all goes back to the person at the top. You hire people who are capable of excelling. He hired Jimmy. Give the man credit for doing that. Now, did it end favorably? Absolutely not. It was a very venomous and poisonous divorce. But in the midst of that, Jerry somehow found the gumption he's standing in the middle of a tornado, F5 on the Fujita scale. Jimmy Johnson has just walked. Your multiple Super Bowl winning coach has just walked. You are in the middle of an F5 tornado, and you still find the latitude to hire another guy who ends up winning you another Super Bowl.
And now, honestly, it would have been 2 if it wasn't for the way they started that championship game in San Francisco.
Oh,
Switzer would have won the back-to-back right after Jimmy's back-to-back.
Right. So, and I think a lot of this that we're dealing with right now in 2017 as it relates to Jerry Jones isn't the 40-year-old fans, the 50-year-old fans, or even the 30-year-old fans for the most part, although that becomes difficult for them to kind of remember the winning days. But you're talking about the younger class of Cowboys fans who haven't experienced those Super Bowl wins in the 90s, who weren't there to see how the team was flipped to the positive side of the coin by Jerry Jones. All they know is what social media has told them, because Twitter wasn't around until 2006. Who was the first star quarterback for the Cowboys a la 2006? Tony Romo, right? So Tony Romo is the first megastar quarterback for the Cowboys in the social media age, because Facebook, I think, was 2004. So it just goes to logic that the newer, younger fans don't necessarily understand or can appreciate without doing their history and their research on Jerry Jones. But the older fans should know better. I mean, I can almost forgive the younger fans because, if you knew better, you do better. But if you're 60 years old and you're still blabbering on about how Jerry Jones destroyed the team,
catch this fade, that fade, the fade over fade there, coming. The fade down the street. Come on now. It's raining fades. Catch them all.
They got to catch them all. Now, this brings us to our final point. The icing on the cake, the cherry on the top of the sundae, whatever you want to call it, about how awesome Jerry Jones is as a contributor to the NFL. Jerry Jones is the NFL. To be quite honest with you, people don't realize how much influence he has on the rest of the league. In fact, he might actually be the secret commissioner because everything seems to go through Jerry Jones. Do people even understand how money is set up? I already explained the fact about television revenue and how that's really the biggest chunk of how the teams make their money. Television is a big part. Mm-hmm. Second from that is the PSLs, the selling of the licenses that go for outrageous amounts of money for the suites and the cabanas and all the things that you see adorning mm-hmm. all of the stadiums. That's why teams want to build new stadiums. That's why Oakland had to get out of the Coliseum, because it was so antiquated they didn't have the suites to sell to make that real coin that these owners are looking for.
Right.
When San Francisco was building their new stadium, Levi Stadium, Jerry Jones, his marketing, I guess, would be the best way to describe that company, named Legends. He's a co-owner with the Steinbrenners of obviously Yankees fame. Legends was involved in basically setting up the PSL deals. They get a huge chunk of change from the San Francisco 49ers ticket gate, from all of their
huge
PSL licenses.
Huge.
A huge chunk. But it doesn't just end there. He has so let's just say, knowing what you know about business, that whoever controls the licensing for a stadium has a fair amount to say about the inner workings of that business. He also mm-hmm. was fundamental, not even also, he was fundamental in having Stan Kroenke's plan for Inglewood be the winning solution for the NFL bringing football back to Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
There were two proposals on the table, and I don't think people understood all of the movements that was going on. Jerry Richardson, the owner for the Panthers, was very much behind a site in Carson, California. Jerry wasn't having any of it. And Jerry ended up winning out. So probably Jerry Richardson is one of the people that's trying to get Ezekiel Elliott suspended as payback for that. But what that basically did was it allowed Jerry a footprint in the new stadium for the Rams. The domino effect that had was that the Chargers got left out in the cold and now end up having to come and move into the Rams' new stadium when it gets built, which gives them 16 home days in this stadium, and Jerry Jones and Legends is in on the PSL license deal for that stadium as well.
And then,
things started to fall apart for the Raiders moving to Vegas and they lost their financing with Sheldon Anderson, Jerry Jones got his partner from down in Dallas, Bank of America, and had them work on the financing for the Raiders. And guess who's involved in the PSL sales for the Raiders' new stadium when they open it up in Vegas?
I'm just going to take a stab at this. But Legends Hospitality with Jerry Jones?
I'm trying to tell you, this man has a interest. I won't call it a controlling interest because obviously the owners, Mark Davis and Stan Kroenke and all of these guys, are still in, you know, majority control of their teams. But Jerry Jones has a seat at the table of four West Coast football teams. In addition to his own ownership of the Cowboys. Now, for people that might not understand how much money is involved in this, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars of income that Jerry Jones and Legends are getting from these deals. This is big money that he's getting from these affiliations.
And it's multiple teams.
Multiple teams. And he has, in true businessman savvy economics 101, none of the risk.
None of the risk, and here's
none of the risk.
And although everyone is trying to absorb the sheer magnitude of financial prowess that is now starting to hopefully kind of unveil itself when it comes to Jerry Jones in this podcast that we're discussing, you're talking about the owner, the outright owner, sole owner of a franchise that's worth $4.2 billion, and he co-owns or has a shared controlling interest in a hospitality company that is responsible and has been contracted to take care of you know, the suites and the licensing of multiple teams. This is, you're now fast approaching $6-7 billion worth of net worth. His influence extends far beyond what we know, and as we're sitting here discussing it, we know a lot about his influence, and there's still more influence that we probably don't know a lot about, right? But all of that said, there's still one more thing. He's still about to change the game in a whole nother way, because how profound and poignant is this man's influence? So much so that the very league he went to war with about 20 years ago is now seeking him out. It's being reported by the Wall Street Journal that the NFL has reached out to Jerry Jones, or Legends Hospitality, which is the company that Jerry Jones and the Steinbrenner family of the Yankees have a shared controlled interest in, and the league is trying to formulate a ticketing experience for not only NFL fans but for sports fans globally. So much power exists and influence exists within this now soon to be Hall of Fame contributor to the sport, that the league that he once went to war with is now trying to lay in bed with him to take their own revenue to another level. It's, you know what, just whatever. I'm just going to drop my pencil because what do you say to this, man? Like this, and again, this is reportedly, and at this point, as the Wall Street Journal has reported, the Cowboys are denying that talks are happening regarding this. The league is denying talks are happening regarding this. But as we all
should
know,
the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, exactly. This is, we're not talking TMZ talking financials. This is the Wall Street Journal, right? So when it comes to this kind of talk from the Wall Street Journal, people, well, why would you get your news, sports news, from the Wall Street Journal? This is actually business news that happens to involve sports. That's why. But I mean, just think about it, Katie. The league is now trying to bid Jerry Jones's company that already has this tremendous influence in getting teams relocated and the hospitality licenses and things of that nature. I mean, I don't know, man. It's more than a coronation. Like you said, he's the commissioner behind the commissioner.
He's the man behind the curtain.
That's probably why, real talk, that's probably why Goodell and the league does so much to try to make it seem like they're being so hard on the Cowboys. It kind of carries the hint of overcompensatory action.
Yep.
You know, I want you to believe that I dislike that team a lot.
Respect my authority.
Right, because in actuality, when I close this door, I really need him to know I love him.
There you go.
So, but that's just my science.
And we don't have to be secretive about how much we love Jerry Jones. As I said, it's been a long time coming for the Cowboys to have regained dominance. Hopefully they won't, you know, falter in the 2017 season. Hopefully 2016 was the start of a long and storied venture into the land of perennial playoff and championship Preach. Contenders. That's Preach. Really what we want to see. And I understand, you know, all jokes aside, I understand fans' frustration that the Cowboys haven't won since the 90s. It could be worse. We could be.
We're frustrated too, ladies and gentlemen. But like Katie said, we're not the Browns.
We're not the Eagles.
That's it. Drop the mic.
That's it. We're out of here. You know what it is. Catch us next week on the next episode of Catch This Fade. Once again, I'm KD Drummond. Find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. Patrick Walker is at Voice of the Star. Subscribe on iTunes. You know what it is. Just go search for Catch This Fade. Download every episode. If you need to hear us live, check out Cowboy Sports Radio app on Android or on Apple. We're everywhere that you need us to be. That's basically it. We're out of here. Right, Pat?
Right. Science.
You know what it is. Salute. I got realness, I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches, building in my DNA. I
business like a bird. You see fireworks, they Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it, use it, use it.